For stats, War Ritualist was the clear choice. It was also the highest actual rarity, and the rituals that came with it were pretty freaking cool. Joe clicked on Boost All to get the information, and it told him that this spell would increase all stats of allies in a kilometer by 15%. Low Orbit Drop seemed to be the little brother of a meteor spell, dragging debris and such from orbit and dropping it on the targeted location. He itched to take this class. He took a deep, calming breath. Eldritch was out for sure. He had no plans, currently, to kill off others just to save costs on his rituals. Also, the ritual it provided made a bunch of uncontrollable undead. He would get experience for everything they killed, but it was possible that he would be on the menu. Even with the risks, it was quite honestly a tempting class. Joe could see how easily it could corrupt, how easy it would be for him to gain levels. If that were his goal. But luckily for the unsuspecting citizens of Ardania, it wasn't his only goal. Frankly, the ability to make a blueprint and ritual for any building was incredibly exciting. His guild could start building a city and stuff it full of mythical buildings. Sure, he would need to find a few of those first and scan them, but this would make them a superpower over time. Finding the resources would be a chore, but it was doable. Besides, time was something Joe had in spades. He was a digital entity now. The thought of creating something permanent instead of only ever making war was what decided it was for him, though. Selecting Ritual Architect as his specialization, Joe braced for the painful changes he was sure would occur. You have chosen a specialization. Since you are now the only living Ritual Architect, the rarity of the class is artificially artifact. Being the first comes with benefits. You gain an additional +2 dexterity per 2 class levels due to the rarity increase already shown in class description, and you are granted the Ritual Architect's Fury. All benefits from base class remain. This class gains experience by scanning buildings as well as building them with the assistance of rituals. Other rituals created and used may also give experience. The skill, Ritual Magic, can no longer be increased with skill points. The increased cross-class skill cost has been removed. I hope you've been grabbing as many skills as possible. Good luck on your adventure, young Ritual Architect. Withheld skill experience gained. Skill increased. Ritual Magic. Journeyman. 6. You are now stepping into areas that none have trodden in long centuries. As a journeyman in Ritual Magic, you are able to teach novice ritualists effectively. Each tier of rituals up to and not including Journeyman are now faster to create, starting with 60% faster novice rituals and decreasing in speed by 10% per tier. Did that last message mean that student rituals were 30% faster to make correctly? Neat. Joe opened his eyes and glanced around. No blood, pain, or crippling regret. This was a happy change of pace. He thought about the ritual he had just gained and was pleasantly surprised to notice that it appeared in his mind, crisp and clear, though he was a bit disappointed to see that it was only the scanning ritual. He had thought it was a bonus ritual. One of the best things for him was the fact that there was now no cross-class increase in skill cost. He had wondered why it was specifically stated in his class that he could learn any skill when it seemed that everyone had the ability to do that in one form or another. Turns out that it was just a hint about specializing. He opened his character sheet to take a look at the changes. Joe made a couple of quick adjustments to his sheet. He figured that he didn't need all the details on the breakdown of mana and stamina anymore, and he was getting sick of seeing them. Name, Joe, Tatum's chosen legend. Class, mage. Actual, ritual architect. Profession, scholar. Actual, occultist. Character level, 10. Experience, 55,599. Experienced next level, 10,401. Ritual Architect level, 1. Experience, 0. Experience to next level, 1,000. Hit points, 190 out of 190. Mana, 1,578 out of 1,578. Mana regen, 17.55 per second. Stamina, 165. Characteristic raw score, modifier. Strength, 19. Modifier, 1.19. Dexterity, 26. Modifier, 1.26. Constitution, 24. Modifier, 1.24. Intelligence, 59. Modifier, 2.09. Wisdom, 58. Modifier, 2.08. Charisma, 23. Modifier, 1.23. Perception, 39. Modifier, 1.39. Luck, 26. Modifier, 1.26. Karmic luck, plus 1.
Looking good, if I do say so myself. Joe thought for a few seconds about his stats. I bet there is someone out there that grinds stat points exclusively. I bet there are a lot of people doing that, actually. He decided not to share his stats with others anymore because he was sure it would start a long rant about how he didn't maximize his character. Sure, but he'd get there eventually. There were things happening. There were quests to complete, legends to research. He shook his head at the imaginary argument with people that might not exist, deciding to go do things that mattered.
Chapter 34. There was one more thing that he needed to do before he could go off looking for quests or other people to harass. Following the blueprints in his mind, he went toward the temple area of this building. He needed to dedicate the place of worship to Tatum, and the building would gain protections or extra effects. It was a nice, simple way to... Joe's jaw dropped as he entered the temple. There was a person on their knees in front of the main altar.
And so... Great Lord of Fire and Wrath, I hereby dedicate this temple.
Hey! Joe's furious shout shattered the cleric's concentration, and a startled squeak erupted from his mouth.
What? What are you doing?
The unknown cleric stammered, climbing to his feet.
I was just about to bless this entire building.
It's taken care of. Joe sent a command to the building, and an invisible wave of force picked the cleric up and deposited him outside of the temple. There were a few shouts of confusion and fear, but he landed safely and simply couldn't walk any closer. He tried, and it was like he was walking against a hurricane-force wind. Eventually, he simply sat and waited for something, staring through the large open area at Joe.
That was far too close. Joe huffed as he walked up to the altar area. He placed his hands on it and said, I dedicate this temple to Occult Tatum.
Simple, no fluff, hard to interrupt.
You have found an unguarded, unassigned, mid-sized temple. Would you like to convert the main shrine to a place of power for Occult Tatum, the god of hidden and forbidden knowledge? Yes? No?
Joe selected yes, and a non-existent bell tolled in the air above him. A breeze came from the altar as it began to deform and shift, changing from a simple yet huge stone block into a book with shifting and mysterious characters playing across the open pages. Joe imagined his robe fluttering in the breeze. Wait, that was gone. His hair fluttering in the breeze. Joe clenched his teeth and seethed silently. Not only was he bald and robeless, but he literally sparkled when he had his magical protections activated.
This game... Whatever. Refocus.
The entire temple shifted, the amazing building they were in facilitating the transformation easily. Joe felt a slight reduction in his personal mana, but it was easily regenerated and replaced. The walls gained shifting shadows that hinted at maps and information, and the floor sank around the altar and created a moat-like channel that collected dark water which began pouring from the book. Overall, the area became dark, mysterious, and exciting. Joe was very impressed by Tatum's choices of interior decoration.
Mid-sized temple converted. Beyond the main dedication, this temple can have up to 4 lesser altars in it dedicated to different deities. They can offer different boosts to the temple and act as interceptors to anyone attempting to wrest control of the main altar. the smaller altars must be converted before the first in the event of an attack. This forces the deity of that shrine to act on your behalf, lest they lose overall power. The Grand Ritual Hall has gained protectors. 4 divine juggernauts have spawned within the temple. New effects have been added to the hall. Knowledge Nova, Assimilation. Knowledge Nova. The Grand Ritual Hall has been filled by a deity that is not content with waiting for knowledge to be found. At the cost of devoting the building's mana to this spell, an active scan will be initiated from the top of the building. A wave of mana will ripple out, scanning anyone in its area of effect. Each time this happens, it will ignore anything that has not changed from the last scan, allowing the scan to reach further. This spell can be activated manually, but will automatically activate whenever the building's mana is at its maximum. Scan range determined by amount of mana devoted. Assimilation. No longer does someone need to offer their class information to the structure. Now, anyone entering the area of effect of this spell will automatically add all information needed to gain any classes they may have unlocked. This is a passive effect, and only Tier 4 or higher classes have a chance to notice its usage. This spell will also be a part of the spell Knowledge Nova when it is used.
Oh boy. Joe wasn't sure whether to laugh or panic. That could be trouble.
He looked over at the juggernauts that had appeared, completely enthralled by their appearance. Standing 8 feet tall with matte black armor covering in shifting, glowing runes, these beings certainly looked the part of an unstoppable force.
Awaiting assignment.
The deep, nearly demonic voice echoed from the depths of a helmet, the glowing purple light shining through the eye slit, turning the pale ritual architect lavender. Joe coughed, hiding the fact that he was just trying to snap his mouth closed.
Right. Two of you stay and guard the temple. Anyone may enter, but slay all attempting to convert this altar. One of you guard the entrance to the building, and the other... I guess, also go to the entrance to the building. Feel free to slay anyone who attacks you, but if possible, simply subdue them and keep them contained until I arrive.
The beings gave no acknowledgement, simply moving to their new posts. Tatum's voice came into Joe's ear.
Nice job with the building. It kinda looks like a giant egg. Did you design it that way, or was that the sage's design?
That's how it came. Way too advanced for me to mess with, Joe admitted into the air.
At least you know your limits.
There was a pause before Tatum spoke again.
Oh, this design allows for an easy transition into a grandmaster working or a legendary structure, as you call it. Very nice. The original building used 5 times the amount of resources it actually needed, just so it could be upgraded for next to nothing. Comparatively. Most likely the very best decision you could have possibly made with that boon. But I am exhausted. If you could have the building divert 10% of the resources generated to me, not money, just mana, stamina, health, and such, it would help rebuild my power.
Sure, let me...
Joe opened the menu and set up that option, Tatum highlighting the sections needed for easy use.
Done. What about that cleric impatiently waiting over there? Should we let him use one of the lesser altars?
God of fire and wrath, huh?
Tatum chuckled aloud, the sound making the floor rattle.
That'd make you pretty popular with berserkers and the like. He doesn't get many clerics. Most of his devotees are raging fighters or vindictive assassins. Probably smart for you to get on his good side. It'll protect you from some nasty characters.
Sure, bring him in. He'd also help balance the temple, giving fire and heat to counter the dark and water. A good fit, if he wants it.
Good luck. I'm off.
The silence stretched for a second, but then Joe allowed the other cleric access again. The man walked forward with a resigned look, stopping a few feet from Joe.
A champion of an unaligned deity has entered the Grand Ritual Hall's temple, Prepare to defend what is yours.
Hey, I got a notification asking if I wanted to try and take over the temple, but I would need a raid group to fight off those things. I'm Krim. Nice to meet you. I was a little upset at first before I realized that you were the guy that hired my guild in the first place. Then I felt a little bad that I tried to steal the temple out from under you. I really thought I was doing you a favor. My bad.
Krim blushed crimson, making Joe wonder if that was where his name came from. Hey, Krim. Not an issue. Actually, thanks, I guess. It would have been nice if I didn't already have plans for it. How did you get into the Mage Guild? I thought they only took, well, mages, Joe awkwardly responded.
I have both the mage and cleric class. Really great for generating mana. Doubles my mana capacity.
Krim smiled at Joe, who had a knowing look on his face.
Listen, there are more altars in here, right? Can I?
Already approved by my deity, Joe confirmed for him, making a sweeping gesture at the unused stone blocks around the room in the four cardinal directions. Krim walked over to one, and a minute later, a wash of flame came over the area, turning the altar into a blazing brazier that released blue flames. Sconces appeared on the wall, and the chilly room heated up to a pleasant temperature.
Rudimentary pantheon created. You have created an alliance with another deity. 15% of all devotions to the subordinate deity in this zone will go toward growing Tatum's power. Guardian Juggernaut's power increased by 10%. Building's mana generation increased by 5%. Make sure not to start fights with the devotees of this deity. You will lose favor very quickly if you do. New reputation with Tomulus, deity of fire and wrath. Reluctantly friendly.
Solid increases. Joe smiled at Krim and thanked him, deciding to leave the building and look at it from the outside. It took a few minutes of walking to get near the exit. This place was huge. When he got out and saw the building from the outside, he had to snort. It did look like a giant black egg with the lighthouse sitting on top. Looks didn't matter, though. Right?
That is a giant eyesore,
Jackson cheerfully stated as he walked up to him.
Hi there, Joe. Glad you are back in the guild and reassigned as our leader. The others were a touch miffed that you left without contacting us, but I'm sure they'll get over it.
Unsure of what to say, and feeling horribly embarrassed, Joe followed Jackson back to his party and apologized profusely, needing to explain the entire situation as well as where they now fell in the hierarchy. That is, how they were essentially outside of it. There was a bit of residual anger, but to Joe's great relief, the issue was mostly dropped. He was sure they had already said what they needed to, just not to him. He started off the day by paying them their salary, which was listed in the guild tab. That helped, he was sure. Poppy tried to break the tension by changing the subject.
Joe, did you know that everyone who participated in making that building also unlocked their magic stat? Mana and such?
Joe latched onto this conversation like a drowning man grabbing a door. That's great. I bet I'll have no shortage of volunteers next. Like a person already on the floating door and pushing away the drowning man, Bard let his hopes die.
They also told everyone exactly how much it hurt. Said 'twere like acid cutting into their bones for a half hour.
Acid on bones? So wasteful,
Jackson cried in outrage. People are so dramatic. Joe heaved a sigh and looked around at his group. Guys, I'm really sorry about that. I didn't mean to leave you hanging like I did. I should have at least come to talk with you first before running off in a tantrum.
Yes, Alexis chimed in. Don't worry so much. It wasn't that long, and we got you a present when we saw that you became our leader again, so we aren't that mad.
Alexis, that's not how you build attention,
Poppy chided her, making Bard glare at him.
You need to make him squirm a bit and get really worried. Don't lead off with the present.
There was a moment of silence, so Jackson jumped in.
So anyway, we got you this.
Poppy gave a small shriek of frustration and stamped his foot as Jackson handed over a long staff with a purple orb at the top of it.
Mystic Thurge Staff, Ironwood, Special, Dual Class, mystic Thurgers place no boundaries on their magical abilities and find no irreconcilable paradox in devotion to the arcane as well as the divine. This staff helps to unite their power. Effect: adds 10 to 20 blunt damage on strike. Minus 12% cast time when casting either cleric or mage spells. Halves penalty for using cross-class, mage or cleric skills. Note: this is a two-handed item, and only one spell may be cast at a time using it.
This is so amazing! Joe exclaimed happily while turning the staff to look at every angle of it. What is this rarity? Does that mean you can't use it unless you have the two classes it works for?
Yes, which is why it is so rare. No one usually bothers to make them because mages typically don't also get the cleric class.
Alexis walked over and motioned for Joe to hand her his scepter. He did, and with a tweak of her fingers, she undid his taglock augment and clipped it onto the staff under the orb before handing both back. Her expertise allowed her to shift augments like that without reducing their durability or effectiveness.
Also, it can hold up to 4 augments. I'd recommend finding a few more if you plan to hold on to this.
It's too much. Thank you all.
Joe looked around, feeling even worse about leaving without an explanation.
What can I do to... Guild alert. The Kingdom of Ardania has issued a call to battle. The wolfmen have been spotted hurriedly gathering in the north and seem to be targeting a town newly returned to the kingdom's control. Though you have a quest for this, the quest has now become compulsory. All noble guilds are hereby drafted into the service of the crown. Desertion will add a maximum tier warlock title, which will take 2 title slots. As you read this, all non-noble guilds are being notified of the impending battle and being offered a quest to form up and attack the enemy. Time until start of assault, 168 hours, 21 minutes. Alert. A message from the king. Cease all other activities. Alert. A calm voice spoke, and it seemed that every human in the game heard him as though the king were speaking directly to them.
People of Ardania, hear my words. The wolfman hordes have begun to assemble, far sooner than we were expecting. There are multiple contributing factors, but the main issue causing them to prepare their attack is the fact that they have lost a large portion of their civilians to creatures transformed by some form of dark magic over the course of 10 nights. There was a pause to allow the information to sink in. The wolfmen know that they are on the verge of starvation. They lost most of their workers, their cattle, and a large portion of their stored food. Morale for the average wolfman is at an all-time low, and all they have remaining are fighters. They will be desperate, vicious, and unrelenting. But now we have a chance that we have not had in decades. Their monarch has appeared and plans to join the battle. If he is defeated by one of you, we will grant a tract of land and a title of nobility to the person or guild who slays him, as well as 5,000 platinum coins to establish their noble line. The wolfmen's likely destination will be given to you now. Good luck, and know that you will be joined by the finest warriors the kingdom has to offer.
The words of the king seemed to echo in the area, but as they faded, other conversations began. True to his word, the location appeared in their vision. Tiny crosshairs on his map covered the marker that showed the town where Joe was standing, making him feel like a sniper was staring at his entire guild. Even after taking a moment to think about the ritual that he had redirected back onto the wolfmen and wondering if it were the cause of so much death for them, Joe was the first to break the silence.
I guess we know what we are doing next.
Chapter 35.
All right, everyone, calm down,
Aten called to the assembled guild members.
It looks like we only have a little over a week before we get attacked, so we need to hit the ground running. This is endgame level stuff going on, so we need to throw everything we have at these animals. Mess with the best,
die like the rest,
the waiting people shouted the end of the guild's motto in reply, then broke up to meet with their direct leaders.
You could practically see Aten's command skill increasing as he smiled and watched his people move to their tasks. The guild commander caught Joe's eye and motioned him over, much to his relief. Joe had been worried that his team would be asking questions of him that he didn't have answers for.
Joe, thank goodness. Anything you can do to help? Some kind of line or circle magic you can use to obliterate the incoming wolfmen?
Aten sounded desperate, though he kept his mask of confidence on. This was a side of him Joe hadn't seen before, and unfortunately for him, Joe was completely unable to think of anything he could use on a large scale to help out even a little. Thoughts of digging wells or pits all over the place crossed his mind, but it was completely impractical.
"I'm really sorry to have to tell you this, big guy, but I've got nothing."
Joe was really feeling sick to his stomach with the fact that he could have been a war ritualist right now with literally stellar anti-army weaponry and had instead chosen to fabricate pretty buildings. Could he create a defensive building before the enemy arrived? Joe dismissed this thought after a moment. It was probably too resource-intensive for him to complete anything worth building.
Really?
Aten's expression shifted to doubtful.
You have nothing you can use to pull our keisters out of the fire? Some random thing that you found in an ancient ruin somewhere?
Joe gestured at the giant egg building they were standing next to. Most recent acquisition from an ancient ruin, Aten. I've pretty much nothing at all. I'm all out of tricks. Aten tapped his fingertips together for a second as he thought.
Here is how I see it. You run my Hail Mary squad, the last resort that insane people listen to. You are my party zero. So, your job is finding that last resort weaponry. Use that one thing that no one else would think of or use without being desperate. We are going to work on defenses and prepare to be overrun by other guilds encroaching on our land. Get going.
Aten nodded at him sharply and strolled away, leaving Joe feeling a bit dazed.
Was that trust?
He really seemed to think Joe could figure something out, and Joe wanted to prove that he deserved that trust. He should rush off and...
Aten's leadership skill was messing with him, wasn't it?
Still, just because he recognized the source didn't mean the message was wrong. Joe walked back to his party and started discussing ways that they could contribute to mixed results.
Oh, come on, Joe! The Geneva Convention laws don't apply here. I just need a few live wolfmen to perfect the poison recipe. A dozen at the most!
Alexis was cut off as Jackson jumped in.
What if you dig really deep pits all over the battlefield?
Bard jumped in.
Let 'em come! They can taste my axes!
Your singing would be enough, I bet.
Poppy stage whispered quietly.
Guys, we need something stupidly large scale. Joe interrupted the devolving conversation. This is supposed to be pretty much the entirety of the wolfman race on the warpath. Pits aren't going to cover it, and a little poison isn't going to slow them down.
Alexis started speaking with a gleam in her eye.
What about a lot of
Yes, if you can make it happen. You've got 3 days to make as much as possible, figure out what you need, and get an expense report to the guild.
Joe rolled his eyes as she beamed, kissed Bard on the cheek, and ran off. She's a lot less shy nowadays.
It's the influence of high-charisma people around her constantly. Pulls her out of her shell.
Bard watched her fondly until she turned a corner.
She's great. I'm glad you get along with your girlfriend,
Poppy snorted at Bard's glare.
Sorry to say that my abilities don't really add up much in a large scale. I'd like the next couple of days to work on my skills. If you all haven't noticed, there is a giant bonus of increased skill experience coming off of that building. Add that onto a well-rested bonus, and you're looking at some insane increases.
Go for it, but try to help out around here if anyone needs you.
Joe sent Poppy off with a wave.
Bard?
Same thing for me. Gonna work on my skills. Try to eke out some large-scale buffs or debuffs.
Bard nodded at Joe, heading off in the same general direction that Alexis had gone. Jackson cracked his knuckles and started toward a small group of people that were improperly carrying some equipment.
Wait! No, come back!
Joe's voice trailed off as Jackson vanished at a sprint.
Alrighty, that covers about everyone except me.
I guess I'll go... study? Make paper?
I don't know. Or... should I go make this ritual?
He was referring to the ritual, Architect's Fury, of course. I do have that other pet project I was working on a while back. I'd love to have Featherfall. Thinking of the things he wanted to get done spurred on his motivation, and he looked at the various components that he needed in order to make the rituals he wanted to use. For such a high-level ritual, Architect's Fury was surprisingly cheap to use. He needed to make a student-ranked ritual, 4 circles, but the only components required beyond a large influx of mana were a mid-to-high-grade beast core and a magical blueprint. Joe was fairly certain that he could learn how to make magical blueprints on his own, but for now, he needed to figure out where he could buy them. Out of other options, and not having any vendors in the area that were selling anything remotely like what he needed, Joe decided to once again head to the city. He started walking toward the shrine, but stopped himself and stared back at the egg-shaped grand ritual hall. I'll bet 1,000 gold that there is going to be a fast travel point in there. He turned and started walking, but was knocked to the ground by an unexpected blow to the side that was absorbed by the exquisite shell that he kept on at all times now.
Get up!
Joe looked up to see Sir Barrington standing over him, eyes bloodshot and fur sprouting across his face.
You and I have unfinished business!
Joe easily jumped to his feet and glowered at the man, who was slowly but obviously regressing into a bear.
Did you come here to finish me off, Barrington? Finish what we started in the dungeon?
What? No!
Sir Barrington drew back a few feet, looking a bit flustered.
I also didn't mean to bear you to the ground with such a light tap. I was only attempting to get your attention. No, I need your help. My deity, the Lady Spriggan, is beginning to fade. With no shrines, no altars, no positions in a temple, and only 1 champion, her power wanes too fast. I am here to beg for a position in your temple.
Sure, Barrington. How about this? We'll make a quest out of it. All you need to do to get a position in the temple is go around and ask each guild member if they would like to have you there. I'm sure they will ask for reasonable favors in return for their vote of confidence. Joe had no sympathy for this man-bear. Sir Barrington growled deeply, and more fur sprouted across his face.
I have no time for these games! The time I spent transformed in the instant dungeon reawoke my bestial self, and if I have no succor granted by the Lady Spriggan, my mind will once more become unbearably simple. I will revert to a not-so-simple animal. The form you saw in the dungeon is my true one. Do you wish an enemy of me?
So let me see if I have this correct. You are threatening to become a raid boss in the middle of a cluster of guilds, all of whom are looking for any kind of method to gain a bit more experience or difficult-to-find materials? You are saying this to a champion who would likely gain a huge amount of favor and experience for your death? Joe shook his head, and at his words, Barrington's face fell into frightened contemplation. Joe could see that he had shaken Barrington's confidence and made him realize how untenable his situation was. Instead of threats, tell me why I would want you or your deity around my people.
Sir Barrington's eyes glazed over, and a green light shone in them. His voice, when he next spoke, was far more feminine and powerful.
In return for aid, I can offer you information that you need, a way for you to turn the tide of the upcoming battle. As it stands, you will be overrun. The timer you see is only the main portion of the Wolfman armies. The fastest of them, those that will test your defenses, will be here in 3 days. I know your true status, Ritual Architect, and I am willing to part with knowledge that you will need. Beyond that, my power over nature, limited as it is for the time being, will help to balance the temple further. Water, darkness, fire, rage. Those are the current aspects of this location. All that is needed for this place to turn into a center devoted to evil is a few evil acts to be performed, and corruption will swallow this area. With war looming, evil acts are sure to follow. Your deity may even become an aspect of the Eldritch instead of darkness. My influence will turn the aspects from the current path and combine to bless this area as a center of natural law, survival of the fittest, empowering natural growth and defenses. Not to mention that you recently tried to kill me, and this would go a long way toward restoring my goodwill toward you.
Now it was Joe's turn to contemplate this information he had gained. What is it that you are offering me directly? I admit the other portions sound good, but I am sure that all I would need to do to find a cleric of a more powerful nature deity is to take a short trip to the city. Sir Barrington's body sighed.
I offer you the location of Emmanuel. It contains a ritual that is simple in theory, but was one of the greatest weapons of ritualists long ago. This tome details the method to turn any spell into a ritual with the same effect. You want a warrior to throw fireballs? Hand him the completed ritual. You want to enchant weapons? Create a ritual zone that... Ach!
Sir Barrington dropped to the ground, coughing blood.
I have said too much without the needed fulfillment of obligations. Now is the time to choose ritual architect.
Do I really have a choice? Joe shook his head in frustration. Save your power for now, Spriggan. Let's go get you a shrine.
Joe helped Sir Barrington to his feet, or at least he tried. The man was several hundred pounds and slowly growing larger. Together they walked into the grand ritual hall, making their way directly to the temple. Though there were a few people that watched them curiously, everyone was mainly focused on their training or assigned tasks. Sir Barrington sprawled on the unadorned altar, scrambling for purchase as his strength began to fail him. He heaved a few deep breaths, then turned his gaze on Joe. A capillary in his left eye had burst, filling the sclera with bright red blood.
We are... almost too late. I have no power. Please, donate your mana to make this work.
Would you like to use your mana to fuel the transformation of this unused shrine into a shrine for deity, Spriggan? As no power will be coming from the champion or deity, 4,000 mana is needed over the span of 2 minutes. Yes? No.
Sneaky little... Joe snarled in impotent rage and accepted the prompt.
Mana began to flow out of him at a manageable rate, his regeneration easily able to keep pace with the power draw. First, the altar melted away. Then, a tiny and detailed forest seemed to grow from the puddle of liquid stone. Joe wasn't impressed until he saw that there were moving animals and that the trees seemed to sway in a breeze. It was a tiny forest, replicated to the smallest detail. A feeling of awe in the air seemed to diminish. No, not awe, something darker. The patterns in the temple became more wholesome, a feeling like being out in untamed nature filling the open space. Not safety exactly, but no longer a strangely overwhelming pressure. It was easier to breathe, possibly due to the plants that were growing around the room seemingly without rhyme or reason. The dark water flowing from Tatum's book altar now had a purpose, and small trees sprouted along the banks of the moat and small river that had formed. Sir Barrington began to rapidly shrink, returning to a fully normal human form over the course of 10 seconds. He looked around the room and nodded solemnly.
Thank you. We are in your debt.
Joe cocked his head to the side. I think that's the first time you have ever spoken without slipping a bear pun into your speech.
Those foul puns were a sign of the Lady Spriggan's power waning. It was unbear- Nope! It was terrible.
Sir Barrington seemed to fully relax.
Many thanks, Joe. Thank you for allowing us into your burgeoning pantheon. In terms of additional defenses, all of the plants in here have poison in the thorns, and the small trees are very young treants. They will grow very strong and durable over time, but for now must be protected. I will also be here to protect the area and will retain my mind during transformations now.
I am glad that this area is better protected, but while I hate to be abrupt, I do need to get moving. Can you please get me the location of that tome I was promised? Joe felt a bit awkward, but there was an army approaching. Sir Barrington held out a beseeching hand toward the altar, and with a flash of green light, a small map appeared in his palm.
This will direct you to the book. I must pass on a warning to you. It is well hidden and protected. Getting to this information will not be an easy task.
Barrington's face was severe, his voice grave.
Truly, following this map may lead you to a fate worse than death.
All the more reason to get moving. Joe spoke these words with confidence, not with arrogance. I need to speak to my guild commander. My party members as well. Thank you, and good luck. Protect our interests well.
No one will steal a shrine from me again,
Barrington stated with a pointed glance. Joe chuckled nervously. At least Barrington's apparent lack of mana explained why the shrine hadn't been reconverted or fixed up. Now to get back to the original reason he had come to this place. Joe sat in the center of the room and closed his eyes, listening to his instincts as best as he could. He felt a small pull as his hidden sense kicked in, and he slowly stood and walked with his eyes closed. When the tickle in his mind was almost infuriating, he tripped over something and fell face first into the dark water in the room. His eyes popped open, and in the brief moment he was submerged, he saw a runic pattern he had become increasingly familiar with. After getting his head out of the water and taking a breath, he went back under and activated the fast travel point. It appeared on his list of travel locations, making him smile. His travel range was growing nicely. Skill increased, hidden sense, beginner 3. Trust those mystical senses. They'll never get you in trouble, I'm sure of it. Seems that closing your eyes is extra effective. Do that extra often in dangerous areas. Sloshing his way out of the water, he quickly went to talk to everyone he needed to, explaining both where he was going and to be watchful of preemptive wolfman assaults. By the time he was back in the temple, he was mostly dry and ready to go. The location he needed to go was deep in Ardania, far deeper in the city than he had ever needed to go before. Joe took one last excited breath and vanished. Chapter 36. The trip to the location of the tome had not gone as he had wanted. Not even close. As he walked closer, the map he had been given proved itself to be magical. It zoomed in on his location, but just as he got close to finding the location the map was pointing to, he was forcibly stopped.
Halt, citizen, or die where you stand! What are you doing here?
13 pikes were leveled at him, most pointing at his heart, but the taller people had their weapon a little too close to his eyes for comfort. Joe, having just walked through what he assumed was a park in the city, was taken completely by surprise.
What? Where is here? Isn't this a park? Who are you?
Joe stammered and coughed from a sudden attack of nerves.
"Another traveler. Of course. Citizen, you are approaching the local prison dungeon of the Kingdom of Ardania. Unless you have business here or are a prisoner awaiting trial by the royal family, you are to vacate the premises immediately."
The man was obviously a royal guardsman, a cut above the city guard in terms of power, equipment, training, and authority.
"Sheesh! Almost vacated my bladder when those fancy spears came out of nowhere."
Joe shuddered as he took a step back.
"I'm leaving. Sorry to bother you. I had no idea. Thank you for the warning."
No response came to his words, but now Joe was faced with a serious issue. There was something in there that he needed, and he was uncertain if he would ever be able to find it elsewhere. Something the guard had said, though. Joe's face fell as he realized exactly what he needed to do to get into the dungeon. He took a deep breath and started walking. Before following through on his plan, Joe needed to accomplish a few other tasks beforehand. Retracing his steps out of the center of the city, he went to one of his favorite places, the library. Boris was inside, poring over a large book as Joe opened the door. The intrusive light made Boris look up, and he cracked a smile.
"Joe! Our most recent addition to the ranks of the scholars. How can I help you? I hear that it is thanks to your efforts that our library has recently grown in power and breadth of knowledge. You had the Mages College grant us research privileges as a reward when you could ask for anything. When we heard that..."
He wiped at his eyes to clear away a forming tear. Boris stood and walked toward Joe, actually giving him a very uncomfortable hug.
"You have no idea what you have done for us, but I can tell you right now that you have earned a hefty reward. This has been approved by the entire council, so get ready for a few ranks in your profession."
You have gained 8,308 experience toward your profession. You are now a level 9 scholar. Having attained this level, books up to rarity special are available to you. Reputation with scholars increased by 2,617. You have reached the reputation rank of friend. You have gained 2 items, blank bestiary and weapon mod classify. Blank bestiary. This is a magical book that stores information on any classified creature. Not the protected information type, but the phylum and such. This book can also absorb other non-magical bestiaries to gain their information. Weapon mod classify. Equipping this to a weapon will allow you to classify a creature. A simple melee attack with the weapon will scan the creature, giving a linked bestiary basic information. Multiple attacks will increase the detail while killing the creature will do a full scan of their body.
That's... wow!
Joe gulped as he was handed a thin book and a small dangling weapon talisman.
"I actually had something for you as well. I found some information that I think you will really appreciate having a chance to study."
"Oh? Do tell."
Boris was smiling happily, sure that Joe had already given them all the surprises he was going to. Joe showed him a crooked grin as a long tube appeared from his ring.
"I have the blueprints here for a structure with artifact rarity."
Joe pulled out the blueprint and handed it to Boris, who took it with trembling hands and a completely dumbfounded look of astonishment.
"Artifact? You are giving this to the scholars?"
Boris staggered back to his seat, sitting heavily as he looked over the shifting building plans.
"But why? You could sell this for a fortune. A noble title. You could..."
Boris shook his head, unable to find the words he wanted to say.
"This certainly counts as lost knowledge. This is as much as I can approve right now. Take this item. For any more, I need to go see the full council again. Twice in 2 weeks."
You have gained 1,100 experience toward your profession. You are now a level 10 scholar. Profession rank increase. You are now a tenured scholar. All scholarly skills increase 20% faster. It will now take a vote of the council for you to lose any scholarly privileges. Permanent gains, plus 5 intelligence, plus 5 perception. Your true profession has reached level 10. Profession rank increase. Occultist has been upgraded to arcanologist. You can now see the truth of material in books up to the master ranks. Item gained. Combination gem. Consumable. Use this gem to instantly combine any skills, negating cost and time to complete. Bound to Joe.
A combination gem?
Joe stared at the small shining gem in the palm of his hand.
What in the world?
They are fairly rare, Boris told him in a distracted voice. Too expensive to use routinely. Normally it is far cheaper to simply combine the skills and wait out the time needed. Fairly regularly, though, I have heard of people attempting to combine a dozen or more skills at once, obviously hoping for something amazing. And who wants to spend over 100,000 gold on an attempt or an experiment? At 5,000 gold each, a combination gem is far more palatable.
Also, you don't need to use up space in your bag on it. You can store it in the bank and use it at will.
Joe made a strangled noise as he looked at the gem in a new light. If he had gained this at the start of the game and it wasn't bound to him, he would have walked out and sold it to the highest bidder. Now he recognized the real value it held for someone who could learn any skill. With a trembling hand, he stored it in his ring for a rainy day.
This was far more than I was ever hoping for, Boris. Thank you very much. But I shouldn't accept this. I gave that to you as a gift.
My boy, you may have pushed us into prominence once more. This is far and away less than you deserve, but it is all I can grant.
Boris's eyes focused on Joe again.
Oh, by the way, if it is of any interest to you, the Mage's College handed over a large amount of books of spells that no one has been able to cast in decades or centuries. You now have access to them, and I have a feeling that if anyone can learn their secrets, it is you.
As tempting as that sounds, I will be very busy for quite a few, let's hope only days, Joe ruefully chuckled. Things are about to get not very fun for me. I'll see you soon, Boris.
The head librarian watched Joe go with a flicker of worry. What could this practically immortal traveler be worried about? Perhaps it was time for the scholars to branch out of studying history and see what was happening in the present. Boris touched a communication crystal and was soon engrossed in a conversation with very interesting people. Joe next went to the bank, paying for a safety deposit box and storing everything in it that he thought could get him in trouble. He walked out of the bank in simple clothes, no armor, weapons, or storage ring. Joe did have on his exquisite shell at the maximum amount of possible mana investment, so he still looked like he was walking in a glittering glass suit. From the bank, he went to the training grounds and began looking for the captain. The captain was in his office, sitting and filling out paperwork with rather poor handwriting. Grumbling as he was interrupted, he looked up and shifted his expression from unpleasant to gleeful in the span of a moment.
Joe, I've been looking for you. I have some very fun and exciting news for you.
I'm glad, Captain, but I am sadly not here for a happy occasion. I have some things I need to talk to you about.
Seeing Joe's serious face, the captain actually looked a bit abashed.
Now, Joe, it's not that bad. Really, this is good for all of us. I think that if you just give me a chance, we can...
The captain was cut off by Joe.
Sir, I am here to tell you that I unintentionally gained a restricted class.
Joe's words wiped all emotion from the captain's face, leaving behind only a cool stare. I am turning myself in and will fully cooperate with whatever needs to be done.
I don't think that you actually understand what needs to be done.
The captain slowly stood, staring directly into Joe's eyes.
Tell me, lad, what class did you get?
Psychomancer. Horror appeared in the captain's eyes, and his mouth moved wordlessly until he forced a few words out.
What skill did you obtain that granted you this class?
Mental manipulation? As the words crossed his lips, the captain moved faster than Joe would have believed possible, his sword appearing in his hand and whipping toward Joe's neck. Resistance. The word tumbled from his numb lips as the sword hit his exquisite shell, bouncing away but reducing its protection to dangerously low levels.
Resistance?
The finished skill name seemed to cause the captain to relax, though Joe remained standing still in wide-eyed horror. How bad was this class that he would be attacked instantly and without warning, even with a reputation of ally? Sheathing his sword, the captain seemed far less apologetic than Joe felt he should be.
We can work with that. I'll help you, give you a reference, and collect references for you. Joe, you need to be escorted to the city's dungeon to await trial. I will try to expedite the trial, but we are at war. You need to be tried by either the king or queen for this. It might be a while. Possibly a long time.
Quest complete. Please don't kill me. By gaining a kingdom-restricted class, you have set yourself up to be an enemy of the kingdom, and therefore humanity as a whole. You have found a government official you trusted and turned yourself in. Good for you. I'm thinking lawful neutral is a good descriptor of your personality. Boring and bland. Reward. A fair trial by the monarchs.
Quest failed. I do what I want.
You turned yourself in instead of seeking an instructor. Too bad. You could have done great things. Terrible things, yes, but great things nonetheless.
If you think it'll help, the reason Wolfmen are marching right now is that I built an artifact-ranked building and they want to get control of it. Since I forgot to meet up with my guild leader, I am the only person with permissions for the building right now.
Joe was actually kicking himself as he had forgotten to give A-10 the ability to run the defenses. Hopefully automatic would suffice.
Yes, that may actually be a little helpful. More than a little, now that I think about it.
The captain reached under his desk and pulled out a bottle filled with amber liquid.
Stamina potion? Whiskey.
The captain corrected him as he poured two glasses full.
I know a few royal guards, so I'll try to get you light duty in the dungeon, healing others and such. It's not a fun place to be, Joe. You did the right thing, but I need to call in the guards to escort you. Finish your drink quickly. Guards!
Surprise!
The door burst open, and a lovely lady with copper hair with just a touch of gray in it stepped through the open doorway with a wide smile. Joe, mid-chug, looked at her and sprayed 20-year whiskey across the room. A small rainbow appeared as the spray went in front of the window, but due to the circumstances, it wasn't noticed by anyone.
Mom?
Chapter 37. The entrance to the dungeon was just ahead, but Joe was still reeling from the revelation that he had just been given. Not only had his mother joined the game in a long-term pod to be able to see him more frequently, but she was dating the captain. The conversation replayed in his head once again.
Joe? Blaz? Sweetie, didn't you warn him? I thought that was the whole plan. As soon as you saw him coming, you made me wait in the bedroom.
Joe's mother was looking between the two of them with great concern, but then her eyes squinted and she crossed her arms.
All right, what's going on here?
Three guards appeared in the room through the main door, looking at the occupants curiously. The captain,
Blaz, apparently, ran his hands through his hair.
Oh, man. This is a little intense so early in the relationship. Guards, I need you to.
He looked at the two people standing next to him and swallowed with great difficulty. His next words were very strained.
I need you to arrest this man and bring him to the dungeon to await trial before a mob.